The hot air blew up north from the Gulf, and the cold wind swept in south from Canada. And when the two fronts collided over the states, the battle spilled over in a monstrous, rolling storm cloud not a few miles north of my lot in the woods. For the better part of an hour, as things there unfolded, the buzz of the weather alert was all I could hear on the TV and on the radio.
They're saying this could be a big one, folks. Stay inside and be prepared to run to the cellar if this supercell does indeed produce a funnel cloud. We'll keep you updated as more information comes available.
And all at once I could see the black underside of the beast as it moved. And then the trees started to list and sway. And then the wind rolled up through the grass until it blew dust onto my trousers into my hair. I whistled. Come on, Shiloh! Inside, boy, let's go! The dog bounded up the stairs, and I shut the door behind the two of us. Then it began to rain. Nothing but a drizzle at first, but then a pounding, howling downpour that fell in sheets and torrents. It turned the dirt to mud, and it poured from the gutters, and it swept up against the windows like ocean surf. Shiloh, never one for thunderstorms if he could help it, laid down on the rug and covered his snout with a paw. And began to whine. Hang in there, boy. It'll be over soon. I sat down on the recliner. I turned on the TV. And I pet him absentmindedly with my free hand.
Think it'll produce a twister? It's hard to say right now, Debbie. The conditions we think are there, especially here near Fairfield, and over here in the Manchester area. You see, on the radar, how that's playing out. So that's certainly a cause for concern that we're keeping a close watch on. Thanks, Kev. And I'm getting word now that there is indeed a tornado watch in Fort Hutchins and in Charles County. And of course, you can get a more comprehensive list of affected areas on our website and at the bottom of the screen. To anyone in the path of this storm, especially in those areas, it is imperative that you are either prepared to move to a storm shelter on short notice or find a low place to hide, without windows if at all possible. Place mattresses up against any exposed windows if you can, and do not attempt to drive away from the storm until the watch is expired.
I looked out the window. It was hard to see much of anything through the wind and the rain, but it was dark out there, for sure. I stood up, I walked over to the window to get a better view, but it was so worked over in fog and rainwater that I couldn't hardly see a thing. Stay put, Shiloh. I'm going to take a quick peek out the door. I cracked it open a bit. The sound of the storm utterly exploded into the house. I could barely hear the dog bark over the sound of the wind and the rain and the claps of thunder. And then a spear of lightning bolted across the sky. Oh, it's a big one, boy, I shouted. Might have to rev up the generator in a bit. I eased the door open a bit more and leaned out. Within seconds, I was nearly as soaked as the porch. And I had to squint and shield my eyes and wipe my hair off my forehead when the rain plastered it there with weight. In the distance, and through the trees, I could still see the sunset. But the red and orange and yellow there, it hit a hard, fast wall of blackened storm clouds a few miles off. And that cloud only got darker and more violent the closer it got to where we stood. The grass in my fields were nearly flattened with wind, too, and the trees were heaving sideways and billowing their tops to the windfall as the storm threw it back to their beating. I craned my neck upward. The skies were moving fast above the house. I could tell that even through the rain, it swirled and bulged. They chased their tails, and wisps of them scouted the ground and dipped deep and low. I found Shiloh brush up against my leg. Back inside, boy. I gently nudged him in the heel of my boot. Things are getting worse out here. I shut the door and muffled the sound of doing so, and Shiloh went back to his spot on the rug and picked up his whining, where he left it off. I knelt down. I scratched him behind the ear. Almost over, boy. Storms this bad can't last too long. But the storm didn't let up. It carried through the afternoon and into the evening, and only strengthened as it did. I kept tuned into the TV as I made a casserole.
Down near Fairfield. And luckily, the worst of the storm is holding in the northwest of Wilbert Heights, which, of course, is minimizing the damage there. Yeah, that's right, Deb. But the roads there are just as clogged to death and back with people getting out of the storm's way. That kind of congestion can prove to be very dangerous if things do indeed decide to move in that direction. Well, we certainly hope everyone is getting themselves to safety before that happens.
Shiloh had his nose pressed up against the window as the talking heads conversed. He was almost perfectly still. His tail was tucked, his paws were set wide, and he had one of his ears standing on end. Anything interesting out there, boy? He paid me no heed, so I got up and I joined him at the window. The storm had reached a hurricane level of fury. The rain was flying in sideways now, and bursts of lightning illuminated a number of downed trees at the edge of the yard. The rest of them continued to bend their spines in the wind. I wonder the power's still on, Aunt. I scratched the back of his head. He continued ignoring me, but when I got up to check on dinner, he barked. Shh, hey, no need for that, Shiloh, come on. He barked again. Shiloh! He barked a third time and a fourth. Then his ears flattened up against his head, and he backed up a little from the window and growled under his breath. Did you see something, boy? He barked again. I went back over to the window and I did my damnedest to peer out of it. But all I could see and hear was darkness. And wind. No more barking inside, boy.
So where is all this coming from, Kevin? It's been churning nonstop for 12 hours now. Emergency crews can't even get out there to do their job properly. But it's definitely lasting longer than anyone predicted. I'll give you that. It's not unheard of for any particular power front collision to result in long-lasting supercell systems like this. We'll just have to see how it plays out. And has the center of the storm moved at all? Bizarrely, it hasn't, Deb. It's remained relatively stationary outside Wilbur Heights in Bell South. Well, it's actually gaining strength in certain areas, too. And of course, we're now getting some reports of widespread power outages and property damage in the Riverside area. Here's a video of the 7-Eleven at the intersection of Turner and Route 40. This was turned into us by an anonymous source. You can clearly see some severe structural damage to the gas pumps and a lot of debris floating around in the parking lot. It's not the best angle, but if you look right here, you can see part of the gas station's roof is kind of hanging off there. Fortunately, we have yet to hear of any injuries or fatalities, but you know. There's only so much the older buildings out there can take. Unfortunately, that's right, Deb. A lot of houses on the Riverside and Port Harbor areas are built decades ago, and in some of the lower-end neighborhoods out there, the architecture is particularly vulnerable to high speeds, prolonged winds, like what we're seeing here tonight. Any advice to people who might be trapped in those areas for the duration? Well, you covered the bases pretty well earlier. It's worth repeating, board up your windows or put some mattresses in case the glass shatters. And at all times, have a place in mind to run to if things get particularly bad. Make sure it has no windows. Make sure it's low to the ground. Bathrooms and basements are good choices to run to in a pinch. And as a last resort, find a ditch or some other low ground to tie down in. And I believe that tornado watch has been extended. Is that right, Kev? Oh, it has, yeah. And that's why knowing these safety tips is essential right now. The watch has been extended to midnight in the Manchester and Fairfield County areas, and has even been widened in scope to include Courtside Hills.
Shiloh remained vigilant by the window. And I was staying up in the recliner watching the news with coffee, but dozing off here and there. The storm continued to rage outside. Every once in a while, I'd open the door to take a peek. But I stopped that once the wind became so violent I struggled to shut the door again. Shiloh yelped and my heart slammed. Oh, fuck. The dog leapt back into his defensive stance by the window, ears flattened to his head, hair up on end, teeth bared up to gums. He barked again and then growled. The loudest clap of thunder I think I've ever heard. What about you, boy? Scratching him behind the ears. But he was focused on something outside. I followed his gaze to the top of the trees and just as I did, there was a spectacular flash of red lightning that spilled its glow across the forest. Shiloh let out a little squeal of confusion. My mouth hung open a bit. How? The lightning flashed again, a deep, almost purplish red, thrown out by giant spears of electric power that shot to and fro, and through a small gap in the mist I saw nearly to the top of the big storm cloud where it did. It was a colossal monstrosity obscured by the darkness of its own underside. A billowing, rolling titan of a storm cloud, lit from within by lightning that must have stretched for miles in every direction. God only knew how high up into the atmosphere it went. God almighty, I ain't never seen something like that in my life. Our Repshile is back. Starting to think this isn't any normal storm. The flashes of red lightning kept up through the night, and every once in a while they'd be joined by lancing snaps of blue and purple. It was a spectacular and breathtaking display, wondrous, otherworldly to behold, but I'd be dishonest if I didn't admit that it was the most terrifying experience of my life. Meanwhile, the rain kept falling in sheets, and the wind had remained at steady, low hurricane speeds for some hours now. The front yard was littered with debris and branches and hailstones the size of a fist. The power flickered in and out, too. I wasn't sure how it'd stay on as long as it had, but it wouldn't hold much longer. Couldn't. I had the TV on while Shiloh and I watched the storm from a window, and I'd glance at it from time to time. Picture flickered, and static filled up the screen in between shots of the news desk.
Reports of red lightning are confounding right over the river view where this is unlike I've ever seen. This is not an ordinary cloud above Cumulonimbus. Cumulonimbus hypercell. His new classification? Yes, it is. And I who
the bee turned to static. And then with an audible snap, the power finally went out. I whistled and sighed. Just us in here now, boy. I hugged him tight, and I felt how violently he was shaking. I think I was shaking too, but for both of our sakes, I kissed his head and said, "Glad you're here with me, buddy. It's gotta count for something." We turned back to the window to watch the storm. Shiloh? Shiloh, where are you, boy? I listened for him, a whine or a bark, but I heard nothing. My heartbeat quickened up in pace until it was slamming. Shiloh! I started digging through the rubble of my home, tossing bricks and shards of glass and chunks of drywall to the side. He started forming a pile behind me. Come on, boy! Don't do this to me! Don't you do this! I dug until my nails had fallen off, but the skin of my fingernails peeled back to the bone, and then I dug some more. He was nowhere to be found. My dog, my best friend in the whole world, crushed under the weight of my own home. I couldn't begin to imagine. Shiloh! Please, come on! Come here, boy! Come on, I need you! Shiloh, I had a bark behind me. But it wasn't Shiloh's. It was deep and loud, and it echoed and rattled in my eardrums. And then I heard it again, louder. I turned around and peered right into the darkness behind me. It was thick, it was black and impenetrable, but it was far from empty. I could feel the wind getting stronger till my hair was flying and my skin began to peel away. I couldn't breathe. There was a flash of that red lightning, and for the split second before it hit the ground, I saw a tornado of incomprehensible vastness bearing down on me to destroy what it hadn't destroyed the first time. I bolted upright and gasped. I grabbed at my chest. I was still at home. Covered in sweat, but alive and awakened in the darkness. I could still hear the howl of the storm outside. I breathed a sigh of relief, and then Shiloh plodded up and started licking my face. Hey there, boy. Sorry about that, buddy. Scratched behind his ears. Just a bad dream. I looked at my phone. 5 a.m. I managed to get nearly a full night's sleep in spite of everything. Hungry, boy? I got up, I used a flashlight to find a dog food bag, then Shiloh inhaled his breakfast while I looked out the back window. I can't believe it's lasting this long. It was truly incredible. The rain had abated a bit. I could see, well, not a lot, but a bit. With the wind still howled and the sky still remained nearly pitch black dark, not a drop or note of sunlight made it through the canopy of cloud cover, but frequent pulses of that red lightning afforded me enough vision to appreciate the wreckage of my yard. It looked like the Somme. Trees were leafless and downed. Branches carpeted the grass, and I could even see split roof shingles lying soaked in puddles at the foot of the yard. But the insurance company is about to have a hell of a day. Hey boy, I'm gonna run outside. I can see if I can turn on that generator. He ate the last bits of his food and he turned to me. Stay put, okay? Wagged his tail. But when he saw I was moving for the door, he stood up and barked. I'll be back in a minute, boy, okay? Threw on my coat. Generator's just outside. Calm down. He barked again and again, but I just rolled my eyes and I stepped outside. And as expected, it took less than a second to get completely and utterly soaked in the downpour. I could feel the moisture through the coat, soaking into my t-shirt and even my boots, struggling to keep my feet dry. But I slogged through the mess and the mud and the debris all the same and slowly advanced up to the generator. I threw the tarp back and clack! Turned around. Shiloh had thrown himself up against the inside window and had descended into madness. He was barking and chewing at the glass frantically, desperately trying to grab my attention. I'd never seen him in such a fit, but from what I could tell, he wasn't seeking help for himself. He was trying to save me. As soon as I realized this, I heard something in the distance that constituted the single loudest and most bizarre sound I'd ever heard. It wasn't thunder. It wasn't an explosion. In fact, it wasn't especially dissimilar from a whale call or the horn of a ship docking at the harbor. It was deafening, animalistic sound that lasted for several seconds and carried hard and steady over the thunder. I felt my blood beat washed to a stop, and then I turned. Couldn't see much, but I saw enough. There was something in the cloud. A formless mass moving east and still well behind the mist, and then I heard the sound again. Then a flash of red lightning shed its glow on what I can now confirm was a still clouded over form of something moving there, something alive that was titanic and otherworldly to a degree I couldn't adequately put into words. I forgot all about the generator. I dropped the cord. I forgot all about Shiloh, too, who was still barking himself into a fit from inside the house. And for the briefest of moments, I even forgot about the storm, although I was still being pelted with rain. I was simply basking there in unspeakable existential awe. Not a normal storm, indeed. Not by a long shot. I stood and I watched the beast, whatever it was, move slowly but with grace behind the storm. Then I heard a low, rumbling thud. On his footsteps. The ground shook when it hit, and the giant shadow of the figure faded into the upper clouds, and the storm resumed as before with a spectacular clap of thunder that shocked me back. I looked over to Shiloh. He calmed down a bit and was now looking at me through the glass as if to say, "What the hell are you still doing here?" And he was right. We couldn't stay here. Of course we couldn't stay here. I didn't know what this storm was or if it was even a storm to begin with, in the strictest sense of the word, but I had no indication it was letting up anytime soon, and I didn't know what that thing was. Oh, good boy. I said it under my breath, more to myself than him. All right. Let's get the hell out of here. It took me mere minutes to throw a bag together, clothes, electronics, toiletries, and other necessities within the grasp of convenience, and to get that and Shiloh situated in the truck. I'd thrown it all in haphazardly, and in my haste, I was positive I'd forgotten something, but I didn't care. I just wanted to leave, to get as far away from this place as I could before things got worse. I didn't know what was waiting for us out there either. I didn't know how far the destruction went, or how wide-reaching the storm was, or if this was all indeed some kind of apocalyptic-level event. But if that was the case, and if we got caught out in the middle of it, then at least we'd know for sure before we died. It wasn't exactly a comforting thought, I had to admit, but the possibility of escape was, certainly. I locked up the house, not like it particularly mattered, and then after throwing up the hood of my jacket and zipping it to my chin, I grabbed the handle of the garage door and threw it up, letting the wind and rain and hail blast its way inside and soak everything. So violent was the storm that it looked like we were standing out in the blizzard. The wind-whipped rain was flying in just about every direction, not just down. And in the fray, too, were rocks of hail and leaves and sometimes whole branches. "All right, boy," I shouted as I climbed into the truck. "You ready?" He looked at me. He didn't whine or bark or make any sound or movement. But my thoughts exactly, bud. I rubbed his head and I turned the key. The truck, which luckily had nearly a full tank of gas, revved into life. Then I eased my foot into the gas and off we went. High beams on, windshield wipers on full blast. The driveway was rough with debris, so the truck bounced and jostled as we made our way towards the wooded path that led into the main road. God, let that road be clear. I knew the odds were against us, but I didn't have it in me to think about that right now. I just kept going, 5, 10, 15 miles per hour, through the surf and the storm and hail. The trees offered some manner of shelter, at least. And spectacularly, the road was clear enough to drive through. None of the felted trucks had barricaded the path forward. But I didn't want to wait around for that to happen. Looked like it could any second. So we hit the gas harder. We fell into gear and shook and rolled all the way down to the Hill Farms Boulevard. "Can't believe we got this far, huh, boy?" Shiloh was whimpering in the seat next to me. "Come on, hang in there, champ. We'll be out of this mess before you know it." I said the words. I'm not sure if I believed them. We drove north for hours. Occasionally we'd see a tree in the road, a pile of debris, or an abandoned car with its blinkers still flashing through the fog. We'd navigate accordingly, but by and large the roads were clear. I wanted to exploit that fact to its end, but before the whole damn town and all nature's wrath came down on top of us at once. Tried the radio on multiple occasions too, but there was nothing to be heard there but static. I give up after the third attempt. A burst of red lightning streaked across the whole sky at once. Shiloh didn't respond, but when the thunderclap hit, he jumped almost entirely off his seat. I tensed up my grip on the wheel until my knuckles were white. Things seemed to be getting worse. I didn't want to admit it to myself, even in my head, but it was true. Going the wrong way. The wipers were overwhelmed with the onslaught of precipitation. So intense was the downpour, in fact, that I was getting dripped on despite having the car sealed up tight. To boot, there was almost a complete lack of visibility. I could see maybe 15 yards ahead when the rain parted and the wind, but not an inch more. At its worst, I could see nothing but mist and cloud. I had reduced my cruising speed to 10 miles per hour to accommodate this. The gas tank sat at a quarter. I carried on this way for over an hour before Shiloh sat up straight and started whimpering and pawing at the window. I looked out the glass on my side. We were downtown, I saw. It was a small, isolated place, so downtown is about 3 intersections wide in any direction, but in the shroud of fog and rain, it looked expansive and mysterious. Light poles, sans the light, of course, loomed out of the clouds and hung gloomily over the road. I could see storefronts, too. Windows and doors were boarded up, most, but in a few, Carl's Pharmacy and Subway among them, the doors were thrown in. The interiors gutted, debris and rubble littered the sidewalk, and as had been the case in my yard, the roads became rough and uneven as a result. "Looks like hell out there, doesn't it, boy?" Shiloh kept pawing at the glass, but then he stopped all of a sudden, and his ears perked up. I listened too. "What the hell?" For the first time in nearly 26 hours, we began to hear silence. The rain slowed from a torrential downpour to a steady rhythm, then to a drizzle. Then it stopped. Altogether. And the wind, which had brought up an incessant howling since yesterday morning, abated too, all the way down to a hint of a whisper. Even the clouds began to part and spread and thin out, and before long, the road ahead became clear. Clear enough to see without even straining and guesswork. Although fog still covered nearly everything to a certain degree, I laughed aloud and I aggressively rubbed the back of Shiloh's head between his ears. "Shit, boy, we made it! Safe and..." My heartbeat slammed into rhythm. Shiloh yelped and whined and yelped some more. That sound, the horn blast from earlier, had exploded through the air and vibrated the windows. It was orders of magnitude louder than it was when I'd first heard it, and that meant that it was close. I now slammed on the brakes and was using both hands to cover my ears. It was a fruitless endeavor. I could feel my eardrums rattle in my head, even after the blast ceased. Shiloh was going berserk next to me. Come on, calm down, boy. I could hardly hear my own voice over the ringing in my ears. You're not helping anything by... Boom. I felt that more than I heard it. And I heard it just fine. I slowly craned my hands over to the left. The whole car shook and rattled. I could see pebbles on the ground leaping up in unison at the impact. And there it was. The leg. The leg that more closely resembled a California redwood in complexion and size, although it dwarfed even that. The beast was walking across the road. Making a spectacle of it, I could only see the mammoth's lower half of its legs as it moved. The rest was still shrouded in mist and fog and cloud, but even that was an awesome and terrible sight to behold. It took a full minute for the Titan to cross the road and carry on its way to the east. Slowly, I eased my foot to the pedal, and we began to roll forward again, but I never slowed up the rate of my heartbeat. The horn blast sound drifted away in the wind. Soon the center of town was behind us. And fading deep away into the mist in the rearview mirror. The road remained rough for another mile or so, but the storm continued to clear up and visibility improved at a slow but steady rate until the view obstructed was negligible. In the shadow. Hang in there. Poor dog was exhausted. He almost lacked the energy to care. Almost out of here. We're almost free. But then the last of the clouds parted ways. And we saw it. A scene of awesome and spectacular devastation. The whole of Forestorn County. What had been a sparsely populated region of wooded wilderness stretched from Wilbert Heights on its southern neck to Phillips Creek in its northeast. Had nearly ceased to exist. In its place now sat a desolate gray pit of impossible scope, miles across and miles deep, reaching down into the earth like an excavation site or an industrial mine dug up to unearth something of utter mammoth size. There were no living trees or grass or running water or any signs of wildlife here. Just endless gray rock and stone, spiraling down deep and then back up. And then stretching off into the distance until it ran up against another wall of fog and storm clouds 10 or 12 miles down. God almighty, boy, I said. And I leaned down to view the scene from his side of the glass as we scrolled by. Doing so brought the sky into view. So look at that. Above the pit. Spilling its ruby-scarlet light out over the landscape below it, sat the swirling red center of the storm. The relative calmness of the air beneath it hinted its purpose was not particularly unlike a hurricane's eye, and yet it was so thoroughly covered up by the clouds it blotted out the sky entirely. Red lightning crackled and snapped in increasing frequency and intensity the closer up to the center things got. And at the center sat a swirling blood-red vortex from which everything appeared to emanate and spread. Beneath it were multitudes of titans, too, flying up from the pit and into the vortex and disappearing forever. Shiloh whimpered and whined. I don't know, boy. Maybe they've been down there all along and that thing is their way back home. The scene was finally obscured again by wisps of light fog. Before we knew it, we were back again in the thick of the storm the portal's presence had kicked up. Our atmosphere's white blood cell reaction to something mammoth and alien in its midst. We drove again for hours, through wind and hail and sheets of rain past us other titans moving home. We made it through in good order. Storm finally stopped somewhere north of the Tawny River. And the town there of the same name. We filled up our tank. We got a room for the night. The storm raged for 3 more days there, nonstop and at full fury for the duration, and then, in the blink of an eye, it was over.
The June storm that devastated a previously unknown town in the center of the state is finally beginning to clear, according to authorities from the Weather Service, and emergency crews are finally freed to move into the already lightly populated area in force to look for survivors and restore power. But their job won't be so easy. Yeah, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Look here, see that? Looks a bit like a giant footprint. Yeah, we're thinking the storm ripped up trees and threw them every which way and then blew dirt back into the holes, leaving nothing but a dip like that behind. We've seen tons of these, usually in lines for miles. Maybe a tornado did it? Running theory anyway. It's bizarre. Scenes like this are indeed everywhere in the affected areas. No doubt a humbling and mysterious testament to the sheer fury Mother Nature can deliver. Coming up after the break, well...
I switched off the radio. Bunch of idiots, huh, boy? Shiloh didn't respond. He was asleep. Still. But I confirmed it under my breath. Bunch of idiots. We pulled up to the driveway about an hour later. Then we started the long, brutal process of recovering and rebuilding, which as of this writing is still not complete. Still need to get the roof replaced. But none of that matters in the end. Got a bed to sleep in. I've got Shiloh with me too. I think the two of us will be just fine. The worst part, after all, isn't the devastation. It's what amounts to a cover-up. Now, I'm not sure what this storm was, and I couldn't tell you if it was the first of its kind or just the latest in a long chain of poorly reported incidents of similar quality and magnitude, but I do know enough to dismiss the official explanation that the Wilbur-Forston hypercell, as it's now known, was just a freak weather phenomenon that could easily enough be dismissed as a strange little footnote of interest to few outside the relevant fields of study. Luckily for the powers that be, too, the affected area is amongst the least known, most sparsely populated regions in the United States, and what other witnesses there might have been have likely been replaced or killed. But between myself and Shiloh, there's at least two sets of eyes here who have seen the reality of things. So I'm getting the word out.